Hey, the Jay Thomas Show podcast is coming up, and it's brought to you by Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too. And they're not just hot tubs and saunas and pools, but man, if you want some really top-of-the-line pool tables, foosball tables, Vinny's with me. You have all that plus more in your stores.
We do, and it's kind of a fun product, but it is wellness. It's bringing the family together and friends together. We carry Olhausen, which is made here in the USA, Brunswick, a name that's been around for almost 200 years. Yeah. And with that, not only can you get a custom-made pool table for your home, for your basement, for your game room, but also matching shuffleboard tables, foosball tables, air hockey, bubble hockey, video games, anything that you could imagine for a game room or entertainment area in your home, we carry and we have in stock. And you can come in and, like I said, design your own game room.
Yeah, you have beautiful. I mean, it's literally furniture. The brands that you have, they're not cheap. They're not cheesy looking. They are beautiful works of art, and you can customize yours. Get into a Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2 store and check out the unbelievable selection of gaming that Vinny has. Where are you located, buddy?
West Fargo, Bismarck, Grand Forks.
There you go. Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2. All right, now, the Jay Thomas Show podcast. Jay Thomas Show, good afternoon. Welcome to the program. All right, we got Don Kinsler today, Lawn and Garden Radio.
We've
been doing a whole lot with our lawns and gardens and our flowers the last couple days.
Just 2 weeks away from the Red River Garden Tour.
Tim Flackle is on there.
He mentioned when he was filling in for you on Friday some of the elaborate things he has planned for his backyard.
Oh, boy.
Umbrellas and things that look like blooming flowers and... Yeah.
All right. Welcome to the program for a Wednesday, one away from our salute party put on by Hebron Brick and All Soccer Meats. It's tomorrow at Hebron Brick Supply.
Yeah.
Beautiful
salute
new headquarters.
Community picnic. Great food.
Mm-hmm. Raising money for Honor Flight.
Yeah.
North Dakota, Minnesota. So a lot of great food out there. Beer wagon out there. A family-friendly event, some really cool historical vehicles on display. It's a good time, man. So more details coming up a little bit later on. Hey, when's that Buck Cherry concert? That's a free one that Hooligans is doing.
It is for the Hooligans anniversary. I thought it said, maybe I read the social media post wrong, they were turning 21. And having a birthday or something to that effect.
I think you're right. It has something to do with the anniversary of 20 years, I think it was.
I mean, what a great get.
And it's free.
Yeah, let's throw a party. How about we have Buck Cherry? Okay.
Let's throw Buck Cherry out the parking lot. Now, did it say on the post? That's this Friday, right?
It is Friday evening, yes.
If you don't know, folks, Buck Cherry is a rock band. They're pretty loud and proud, and I actually am a fan of Buck Cherry.
It's a good show, and they have a certain song.
Crazy Bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of their big hits.
Big fan.
I got to believe the show's got to end at like 10. I don't know what the ordinance is out in West Friday. I think this is fantastic. Don't get me wrong, but... I'll probably be able to sit in my driveway Friday night and listen to that concert.
Yeah, you probably will. Big weekend this weekend. I mean,
banana ball.
I can't believe how much stuff is going on this weekend.
Yeah, what is it with this week? You got Buck Cherry free concert Friday night.
Yes.
You got banana ball. Forget getting your hands on tickets on that. That ain't happening. That thing sold out like a long time. Alex and I. We're able to get our paws on a couple tickets.
Well, I know they're doing
great seats too.
Oh, nice!
But what you have to do to get these tickets, you got to download multiple apps onto your phone, all these codes and everything. But yeah, we're going to the Friday night one.
Okay, and I know that they've been running some social media contests to give away a pair.
Who has Savannah Bananas?
The Bananas.
No, they're not coming here. It is the Firemen or the Foot of
Indianapolis Clowns, I believe, and the whatever the Firemen.
Yeah, the Firefighters, whatever. Yeah. Those are the two that are coming. Right. But it doesn't matter.
It's same league.
Yeah, it's
same entertainment.
And I didn't know this, so game time is 7 o'clock, as usual.
Yeah, usually 7:02.
But all the festivities start at 3:30 in the afternoon is the pre-party, and holy smokes, man.
It's a family. It's a big deal. There's big entertainment. They are a nation global sensation. I mean,
I don't know. If you're listening right now, I don't care where you're listening, 701-293-9000, if you've actually been to one of these Banana League games, and how was the experience? Was it worth the ticket price? And what can Alex say? Because you see, like, their videos on social media, but those are all chopped and cut. They're highlight videos.
Yeah,
I'm just wondering if you've experienced it, whether it's the Savannah Bananas or one of the other teams in that Banana Ball League.
I know,
how was it? 701-293-9000 on Thor Building Studio Line.
I know just last weekend, I believe it was last weekend, maybe it was the weekend before, but they were at Lincoln Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, Nebraska.
They pack every place they go.
It was jammed full.
Yeah.
And lines of people, like, running out the around corners.
I'll catch their games on once in a while Saturday. Like, ESPN2 will have one of their games on. So, I mean, I've actually seen a game. I won't watch an entire game, but that's not the same as actually being there. I'm just wondering how crazy it is and what kind of fun stuff they do when you're actually at the game. You're welcome to join the program anytime, 701-293-9000. That is our Thor Building Studio Line, post-frame construction for ag and commercial industry. They also do residential work. Get a hold of Thad, the crew at thorbuildings.com. You can also email us anytime, studio@wdayradionow.com. That would be our Red Wing Boot and Shoe Studio inbox, 3003 Main Avenue in Fargo. And Teresa and the crew will take care of you, man. They're open Sundays now, by the way, noon to 4. Boot, shoes, custom fit orthotics, accessories, repairs, they got it all going on. So get on down there. Email says, Jay, Buck Cherry played at Hooligans back. Okay, that's why they're doing this. So Buck Cherry played at Hooligans back when they opened.
In the previous location when they
first opened.
Okay.
And that was before their big chart hits.
Well, and as Mike Myers would say in Wayne's World, I was not aware of that.
I was not aware of that. That would explain then why they're bringing Buck Cherry back.
Well, why not? Yeah, I mean, it was
a hit. Hooligans with them,
yes.
And let's do the anniversary with them.
For sure.
701-293-9000, email studio@wdayradionow.com. I see yet another judge has shot down yet another government plan, and this time it involves the SNAP benefits program. But now this was a Obama-appointed judge. But I got to say, Ronnie, I kind of I'm not a lawyer. Play one on the radio once in a while, pretend to be one. I got to say, I kind of agree with her reasoning for shutting it. She says it's not she's not against the idea. It's just that you are breaking your own rules and laws by what you're doing. So you better fix this first.
Well, in good for her. I mean, first of all,
is Russ ready?
Yeah, he is.
Okay, hold on. Hold on, Russ.
Yeah, I just hate the deal. I mean, why don't we just have district court judges running the country at this point?
Wow, this was a federal judge out of Washington. Yeah, I'm with you. I get what you're saying.
I get it. Yeah, but and again, it also proves her decision. Mm-hmm. And her explanation proves that most of the people who react to these things should take the time to actually read the legal decisions.
Yep.
Then they might feel a little differently about it. I could have went either way on that one.
You did read it, yeah. Basically what she's saying is you guys didn't dot your I's and cross your T's on this.
Yes. The one that disturbed me was the blocking the decision that you had to show proof of citizenship in order to register.
But don't you already have to do that?
Well, it would be interesting. I don't live
under
in
under the 10th Amendment, is it the 10th Amendment? The states control their elections? I don't know.
They do, and that's good and proper, and Congress regulates, the states regulate their own voting. I don't live in a state presently. North Dakota does not require you to register to vote.
Yeah.
So
it's true. Jeff, Jay Thomas Show.
Hi. So I haven't been to a banana ball game, but I got tickets for this one, and I can't go out and take my grandkids, but it's too late in the night for them. And so I have 4 tickets for sale.
Let me talk to Russ here, get the weather done. I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to bring you back on the air, get some info, okay? Hold on, Jeff. Hang on, buddy. Russ Thomas, my brother from another mother.
Hey, dude, I just found out there were 4 tickets for sale to the Bananas game. I'm going to see if I can make a call on that.
Would you like those?
Actually, I'm good. I do have plans at night, but I just thought it would be fun to say that. I will say this, though.
Yeah.
My dad is from Savannah, Georgia, originally.
Okay.
So he was a big baseball fan. I don't know. I guess my point here is I don't know how he'd feel. He's gone now, but I don't know how he'd feel about the Banana Ball, just because he was one of those, I mean, old school,
yeah.
You know, just he's a big baseball fan, but he's an old school guy. So I don't know if this would have been something he would have been entertained by or something he would have just thought was the goofiest thing. But I mean, to me, like you said, you see the clips of it. It does look like a lot of fun. Oh. I did see something. I know there's a way, because I saw a highlight of it, and I thought it was the coolest thing, where if a fan catches a ball, I think it might be the last inning, then the team automatically wins, like, foul ball, and someone hit a foul ball, like a hard line drive in one of the games, not maybe a few months or last year. Mm-hmm. A kid reached over, caught it with his glove, and that was the end of the ball game.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yes,
I know.
It is.
I mean, this thing started from nothing. I mean, nothing. And again, I'm blanking the gentleman's name, what started it all. But what he has managed, Russ, to build is fantastic. We talked to Chris Coase once in a while, skipper for the Red Hawks.
Yeah.
We'll talk to him once in a while on the program. And I asked him about this banana ball, you know, what he thought of it. I said, come on, you know, you're World Series champion, you know, played pro ball on all levels, the big leagues, everything. And he said, no, this is, it's fun. He said, it's just fun. It takes away, you know, all the stresses in life. It's just good family entertainment. These guys are, and I think, Ronnie, didn't he say one of the Red Hawks, former Red Hawks?
There are two Red Hawks
oh, wow, that play in the Banana League.
Yeah, one plays for the actual Bananas, I believe, and one plays for the team coming here, the Firemen.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
so,
that's cool. I must have missed that. That makes it even more, kind of to go to that here, to know that we got a couple former Red Hawks. That's really cool.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. We're going Friday night. So.
Well, he's a baseball purist, Russ, I mean, you think back to the days of the independent leagues and, you know, people that ran all of those teams with different promotions, the Bill Veeck, or Vec, I believe, it was somebody who had the infamous blowing stunt at the Chicago White Sox stadium where they had to forfeit a game or whatever.
Yes.
Are you talking about the disco deal?
Yeah, I think it was
burning all the disco albums.
You're talking about
out of control.
Yeah, you're talking about disco destruction. Yeah. I'm wondering if the one I'm talking about is a different event.
Okay.
But, yeah.
All right, Russ. What happened? Yes. I thought it was gonna be nice today, dude.
Well, let me say this. I did call for mainly cloudy skies, and we had a few showers out there. In fact, just a little bit ago, maybe 15, 20 minutes ago, pretty heavy shower on our station for all of about 90 seconds. But yeah, no, we do. We have a few more showers out there than I was expecting. But overall, pretty much the picture, again, that we were looking at for today. Temperature's cooler than average by about 10 degrees out there. So that's something. This is the last time we're going to have a day where our temperatures are this cool for quite a while. The next couple days, we're looking at a couple 77s. And after that, we really start making a jump, especially as we get toward next week.
That's what I heard. We're talking, we're going to be, well, Sunday, I believe, close to 90, if not 90, right?
Yeah, we have 88. We also, by the way, and this is something we just did, we have our first alert weather days here. We assume both Saturday and Sunday, we do have those because there is an opportunity both days for severe thunderstorms but during the afternoon, evening hours. So okay, watching that. But yeah, you're right. We get about an 87? No, sorry, I apologize. An 80 on Saturday, 88 on Sunday.
All right, then after that, we're going to heat up. I know it's way out, but how's the 4th of July weekend looking? Because it is going to be bananas around here.
It really is nice. It's going to be 90, in fact, next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, kind of a three-day weekend window, 90, 90, and 89. Also, I believe the Red River Valley Fair also starts next Friday.
Yes.
I think it's when it kicks off. Yeah, so just in time for that getting hot. And I will say that at this time, and again, like you said, we're still, 9, 10, 11 days out for those 3 days. It looks like it's going to be dry, so more of that traditional midsummer, sunny, hot type pattern. We'll keep an eye on that part of it. But what almost looks like a certainty is that it's going to be, temperature-wise, we're really going to take a jump.
Well, what's I can't believe is, we're at the end of June. Well, yeah, we are. It's the 24th.
Yeah.
And these nights, I cannot believe how cold these nights are. They're in the damn 40s.
I know, you're right, it is chilly, and I take my taking my dog out at about 7 o'clock in the morning, which is typical for me when I get up, and usually I'm just throwing on the t-shirt and shorts this time of year, and I am, especially when that breeze is going, I'm like, why did I not throw on a jacket? And then I'm like, because it's June 24th.
That's nuts. It's crazy.
I know.
Yeah. Are we finally starting to roll out of this wet cycle? Wet and cold?
Well, no, not. We will when we get to, the middle next week is when we kind of start. But over the next few days, I mean, tomorrow's going to look great, actually. Friday, a few showers. Begin watching the weekend, Monday as well. I still think we have the shower, the storm chances. Again, a couple severe storms possible. Once we get past that, looks like the middle half of next week and beyond, we're drying out.
Well, wait a minute. Friday, I got a film down in Horace on Friday morning. We're going to be okay.
Hold on. Let me make a change here. Nope, no rain on Friday.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Right.
No, thanks. Just, you know what? You bet. No, I think as far as Friday goes, chances of showers are pretty low. I mean, I'm throwing it in there because there is a chance, but we're talking more like a 20-30% chance. So you should be good.
All right, Russ. Appreciate it, brother.
You bet. Have a good one.
You got it. You too. Valley News Live Chief Meteorologist Russ Thomas. And by the way, weather brought to you by Moving Team 6, now hiring, looking for hardworking men and women for part and full-time positions. And they're locally owned, family-oriented company culture where employees are treated with respect. And it is a team-first atmosphere. Great opportunity for college students, veterans, or anyone looking for reliable work and job security. So go check them out. You will be very impressed with Moving Team 6. Great company. Join the team. Apply online, movingteam6.com. That's movingteamsix.com. Barry, you're up. Jay Thomas Show. What's up, Barry?
Yeah, well, I heard some guy saying they had some tickets for sale for the Bananarama ticket game.
Hold on a second, actually, because let me hook you up. Hey, Jeff, you're up. Okay. Jay Thomas Show. Jeff?
Yeah.
You got those tickets?
Yeah, I do.
Barry wants those tickets. Barry, you want those tickets?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Jeff, how much are the tickets?
Did you want four? Oh, they were $35 a piece, yep. So I'm just selling them for face value.
That's fantastic. What kind of seats did you get?
I don't even know. It's in the email.
Oh, you haven't opened it up yet. All right. Yep. Barry, you want two or four of them?
Four, for sure.
Oh, look at that, Jeff.
Boom.
Just nice. Bam, get you some of that. We just sold out four of your tickets. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you both on hold. Ronnie's going to get Jeff. Jeff, you're going to give Ronnie your phone number. And then Barry, Ronnie will pick up the phone and give you Jeff's phone number. And then you guys can get hooked up and the tickets are taken care of.
Awesome. Good. Thank you.
That's how we roll on this program, baby. All right.
Turned into Tradio.
Tradio, exactly. Exactly. All right, I'm going to put you guys on hold. Jeff's on hold. See if I can do this.
Got a guy on the other line about a set of white walls.
Yeah, all right. Next up, what do you got, sir? Oh, yeah, you got a pair of BF Goodrich. All right, let's see what we can do. Hey, Jay, I got two BF Goodrich tires I don't need. All right. Email says, Jay, we are going Friday night to the ball game. I watched a game last weekend on TV with one of the other farm teams, and it was pretty boring. I just hope I just caught a bad game. I haven't caught a boring game. Now, usually the games that they televise, like it's like on ESPN2 or if you catch them, it's usually the actual Savannah Bananas or the firemen or firefighters, whatever they call them. But the firemen, that's who's coming here. And their games are just as exciting as the actual original Savannah Bananas. So, but just curious if anybody's actually been to one in person, what the experience was like. Was it worth the money? Is it like one of those where about an hour into you're like, okay, I've had enough. I'm going home. I know it's sold out. It's going to be crazy over there. And everywhere these teams go, man, they sell the place out. It's crazy how many fans Banana Ball brings in over the top. 701-293-9000-224.
Just another happy customers.
Well, that's what we do around here, man. Yeah. That's what we do around
here. I'm legal, by the way. I know you are.
Yes, I got my driver's license yesterday, so I don't have to pucker up when I'm driving home.
Yeah, I'm 100% legal.
I'm impressed. I was in and out of there, man. They move people through there like you can't believe.
Yeah. Now, apparently there was an extra step. I guess not only did I have to make an appointment, but I had to fill out a quick form online with, you know, the
medical stuff,
all that. I forgot to do
Oh, I didn't have to do medical. I just had to fill out the whatever, you know, all your information. It's going to go on the driver's license.
I did the paper form. Took me about, the whole process took 7 minutes.
Yeah, it was quick in and out.
Eyes hazel, weight, you know, hair none. You know, all that stuff.
And then I hair none.
Well, he said you could put bald. I was like, yeah, my wife's going to roll her eyes, but I'll put bald.
Did you put bald on your license?
Yeah.
I didn't know you could put bald on your license. Well, when you do the hair colors, they, you know,
that's
brown, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
gray,
that's why I questioned it. I said, there's no, like, no hair. He's like, you can put bald.
So they actually, on your driver's license, it says bald.
Yeah, I think so.
That's fabulous. I didn't know if I wanted to go with hair color brown or gray, so I just stuck with brown.
Well, I went with bald because he wouldn't let me put used to be brown. So
says Jay, I'm pretty sure the only way you can sell the banana bald ticket is through their app. I went through the process today. Whoever has the tickets, they're gonna move them over, and you gotta open up. They'll send you a special code, then you download their. I can't remember what it's called, Fan Ticket, whatever. They give you all the information. You download that app, and then what you have to do is you have to download the, what is it, Google Wallet to drop those tickets into your Google Wallet.
Yes. It's a similar deal, actually.
Kind of like what I had to do for the Wizard of Oz stuff.
Yeah, it's a similar deal for Bison tickets, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
You have to have an account, and then someone can transfer their tickets through to an account, pay... So, and then they download them onto an app, all that stuff.
So now I had to download Google Wallet. There's so many damn apps on my phone.
Yeah.
I had to download Google Wallet. Does that mean I automatically now have an account that somebody can download a ticket into?
Only if you give them authorization to and all that, you know. I think it's primarily just for Ticketmaster stuff.
Well, I have a Ticketmaster. Oh, no, I had to get the Ticketmaster app to get my tickets for.
Yeah.
The Sphere.
Yeah. And you can, I believe those, you can either have them in Google Wallet or Ticketmaster. Either or.
What happened? Just give me my tickets.
I know it.
Give me my damn tickets.
We don't do that anymore. Saving Mother Earth one tree at a time.
Yeah, that's, okay. You know what else is coming back big time? I was reading an article today that I got a message from a listener. DVDs are making a huge comeback. We'll talk about that later on. All right. Don Kinsler next. 237, that's a Custom Truck and Auto Shine time check. More than just a detail shop. They do body work. Add those custom accessories. They'll come out and clean your fleet for you. Detail your semis. Take care of your farm equipment. Get that cleaned up. Go to CustomFargo.com for more information. All right, before we get into Lawn and Garden Radio, I want to give you a quick heads up. An event going on tonight. The weather should hold out for it. It is the inaugural Hogs and Hot Rods for Hospice event. It's happening starting at 5 this evening at the El Zagal Shrine in Fargo. Family-friendly fundraiser, feature car and a bike show, hog dinner, bouncy houses, face painting, root beer floats, and a silent auction. And all proceeds and donations are going to benefit HIA Hospice. That's formerly Hospice of the Red River Valley. Providing compassionate care to individuals and families throughout the region. So if you're looking for something to do, grab that car or bike and go out there and show it off. Or if you don't have one, just go hang out and look at some beautiful bikes and cars. Again, it's located at the El Zagal Shrine up in North Fargo. The inaugural, the first, Ronnie. Hogs and Hot Rods for Hospice. How about that?
Sounds fantastic, yeah.
Followed, starting at 5, followed by a free will donation dinner, and then the silent auction. El Zagal Shrine, they're up on 3rd Street in North Fargo. So there you go. Check that out. And one more real quick here. I don't know if I'm supposed to. I'll plug it now, but it officially doesn't start till 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Ah.
Brantley Gilbert is at the lights Friday night.
I thought it was Saturday night.
No.
It's Friday night?
It's Friday. No, maybe it is Saturday
I believe it's Saturday night.
Is it Saturday night?
Yeah.
No, I think it's Friday night. I don't know. Here's the deal. So starting tomorrow at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I will have a special link up at either you can go to am1100theflag.com or wdairadionow.com. If you click on that Brantley Gilbert link, tickets for the concert are $79 through the special link I got for my listeners. Mm-hmm. You could purchase them for $29.
What?
$50 off.
Really?
I know some people, man. I know some people. It's
moving and shaking over here.
But that link will not be up until 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, and it will come down Friday at midnight. Yeah, you're right. It's Saturday concert.
Okay.
Friday at midnight. So there you go. Hello, Don Kinsler.
Well, good afternoon. You know, I'm especially happy, Jay, because over the last week, week and a half, most of us have gotten some rain showers.
No.
You know, there's been enough rain clouds pass over. Jeez. You know, some of us got a little here, a little there.
I got over an inch yesterday.
Yeah, we had half an inch. My rain gauge actually is broken. I got a new one for Father's Day, but didn't get it put up yet. But I knew it was going to rain, so I stuck out a tuna can, which
old school.
Is kind of the
primitive
primitive rain gauge. But, you know, a straight-sided tuna can holds about an inch, and we had about half full, so I figure I got a half an inch of rain.
What's your damn gauge up?
And so, yes, I got one of the nice ones for Father's Day, you know, with the big
That's what
wide,
I have.
You know, that measures it accurately.
Productive, is that the company Productive Alternatives?
I believe it is.
That that may be it.
Oh, they're fantastic.
So anyway, it is just so nice to have a generous rain this time of year when everything is growing so vigorously. And now on my drive in here, I heard you mention the yard tours.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Red River Valley Garden Tour.
Okay.
And our friend Tim Flackel is one of the tours. Now, this is an NDSU Extension Master Gardener hosted event.
Okay.
Our committee selects, this year they're all North Fargo. Our committee selects, you know, people kind of nominate yards. And we've selected those yards that people will, I think, will find interesting. It's July 15th and 16th. That's Wednesday and Thursday. And if you just simply go online, search Red River Valley Garden Tour, the tickets are $17 in advance. All the proceeds from those tickets go to a nonprofit each year.
Nice.
Last year, it was the Garden of Healing. This year is Hope Blooms. Hope Blooms is the nonprofit that people donate, like funeral flowers, wedding flowers, and then they take, disassemble, make them into beautiful bouquets, then take to hospitals, nursing homes, hospice, shelters to let people know they aren't alone. And so, last year there were about 800 people on the tour. We hope to exceed that this year. Tim Flackel has opened his yard up to the tour along with seven
Show
others.
Off.
And,
show
so,
off. Do you get a lot of requests for people wanting to show their yards off?
No, it takes more coaxing.
Yeah.
None of us feel like our yard is worthy of having 800 people come and take a look.
I can't believe how many people go through this thing.
Because, you know, gosh, you know, I've got weeds, or, you know, some things don't grow the way you want. But I think many of us are overly conscientious about that. You know, we don't feel our yard is worthy. So, my gosh, if anybody knows a neighbor or somebody, because we're already planning for next year,
mm-hmm.
and if anybody knows a neighbor or somebody that their yard is really, really nice, you know, let me know.
By the way, I heard that Flacco will be, everybody that comes through gets a steak from Harry Steakhouse. I'm just kidding.
That's I thought for admittance, your thumb has to be green.
Okay. All right, let's do Lawn and Garden Radio, brought to you by Valley Landscaping, Line X, Valley Truck Gear, also Cars Tree Service, Premium Flooring, Pro Lawn, Cheyenne Gardens, Comfort King, and the world-famous Critter Crumbs. Actually, Tim Mohn was going to jump on with us today, and he never did call in. Of course, I think it was his grandma that invented the Critter Crumbs. All right, so if you got a question for Don Kinsler, NDSU Cass County Extension Horticulturist, 701-293-9000, whether you're listening on it. Our flagship 970 WDAY or AM 1100 The Flag here in the east, or 1090 The Flag out in the western part of the state, or in your smart speaker or however you're listening, interweb. That's the number you use, 701-293-9000, or email studio at WDAYradionow.com. I don't know how busy we're going to be today, Dom, because there just hasn't been a whole lot of things people can get out and do. It's either been dry or now we're just saturated. I do have a question for you. So I don't know if you caught the story. Down in Horace, the city's saying, hey, kind of ease up on the water usage.
That.
We got like 50 homes that are using like 20,000 gallons of water, and they're attributing it. They're pretty sure it's because of the sprinkler systems. And then they put out a thing that this is about how much water you need to, for fresh sod. And so I'm like, I got to ask Don. So I think they said it was 1 inch a week is really all you need for freshly laid sod. Is that correct?
Now, freshly laid sod is a different case totally than an established lawn.
Oh, yes.
Freshly laid sod needs our attention, such as watering three times a day
That's
to keep
what
that
I thought.
Hydrated. You know, morning, noon, night. If that gets a hot wind on it, it can fry before it roots in. So sod needs our constant watering attention to keep... to keep that roll of sod wet and the soil below it moist until it roots in.
Yeah.
Totally different than an established lawn.
Yeah, and that's why I was going to ask you, because I'm like, no, you need more water than just once a week on sod.
Oh, boy, you got it. Now, for an established lawn, that's totally correct. 1 inch every 7 to 10 days will keep our lawns green. And if that is applied in one application, so it actually goes down into the root system, mm-hmm. or in sandier soil, maybe divide that into twice, that's much better than frequent light sprinklings that tend to stay on the surface.
Because it'll evaporate out.
Exactly. It evaporates out. And grass roots aren't stupid. Mm-hmm. If all the watering is on the surface, that's where the roots are going to grow. They won't go downward.
Okay.
And so deep watering, a little less often, 1 inch every 7 to 10 days, that's one of the simple things we can do to keep a lawn really healthy. So, and of course, that does help the water supply too, if everyone isn't watering so frequently
as well. And here's the thing. You have a lot of new homes in Horace, which means there's a lot of freshly laid sod lawn. So I'm not surprised.
New seeded situation. They also need to get that seed to germinate and to fill in appropriately. That also needs more water than an established lawn.
All right. Kevin, you're up on the Jay Thomas Show with Don Kinsler.
Hey, Don. Kevin here again.
Hey, good afternoon.
I was just going to let you know, because you explained what that fern peonies was. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 buds on those Easter lilies, and they're just about ready to open. And I go, you can transplant these right from a pot from Easter. I'm just so excited about these suckers. I just like, oh my God, they survived.
And so
I think I emailed you that. And they go, oh my God, they're going to be blooming here shortly.
Yeah, so now a potted Easter lily, if a person after Easter and stuff, when the weather moderates outside, if you plant it out, the first year, the first season, it will oftentimes bloom in September. And if we treat it right, mulch it right, because they're borderline hardiness, about a zone 5, then if we can coax them to come back, then they bloom in high summer, as you're finding yours is doing. And gosh, Easter lilies blooming in our area outdoors in middle of summer are absolutely awesome. So yours will be blooming soon?
Yeah.
How tall? Yep. How tall is it?
Oh, they're a little demented, though. I don't know. A little over, I'd say 14 inches.
Oh, sure. Sometimes even they'll get taller than that. And send me a photo. That'll be fun to share.
Anyway, I'm just so excited about these things. Oh. I never knew you could just place them from a pot into the ground and hope for the best.
And again, they're about a zone 5, so you know we're a zone or so shy of where they can grow without any winter protection. But it's fun. You know, you've got nothing to lose if you got potted Easter lily to stick in the ground.
There you go, Kev. Appreciate the phone call. 701-293-9000. Am I bad? The city says regarding the water usage there, that the lawns, most healthy lawns, only need about 1 inch of water per week, but then they give information on sod method.
Sure.
And I wanted to run this by because I want to make sure that people are getting the right information when it comes to their freshly seeded or sodded lawns, because that's an expensive process. So the information that they're sending out for the first, now this is for sod. They're saying water immediately after installation, ensuring the soil is moist 3 to 4 inches deep. For the first week, water in short periods, keeping the sod and soil moist. In the second week, gradually reduce watering frequency to once or twice daily, early morning or late afternoon for the first 2 to 3 weeks.
Great advice.
Is that good? Okay.
Yep, great advice.
All right. And then for seeded method grass, keep the seed bed constantly moist until germination occurs. Water lightly and frequently. Be careful not to wash away the seeds. Water 2 to 3 times a day for the first few weeks to help maintain soil moisture during germination. So that's all the right information.
Sounds like great advice. You know, there's nothing more tragic than sod that gets laid. Oh. And if it doesn't get watered appropriately, it will turn gray and eventually die.
Yep.
And so it does need, as I mentioned, that water regimen.
Dave, you're up with Don Kinsler.
Yes, sir. Question about suckering basswood trees. Is there a product that you can put on these things once you cut them off to keep them from recurring?
Yeah, basswood, American linden, and other lindens are very prone to suckering, especially at the very base of the trunk. They'll get this proliferation, almost creating a shrub-like, all coming out from about ground level. Very annoying. And there are a couple of products that can be tried. One is called Sucker Stopper, and another is called Sucker Punch. And both are, one or the other, probably available at garden centers. You have to follow the directions very carefully for it to be effective. They're not highly effective. The best is, if a person has a linden or basswood, is when they first start suckering, and you can just take your thumb and forefinger and kind of bend downward and snap them off. That helps. But once they kind of get established, then they become woody and harder. But pruning out is probably the best. You know, when you drive up and down some of the streets, you can identify basswoods oftentimes by this big proliferation of suckers coming at the base of the trunk. Are yours coming from the base of the trunk or away from the tree a bit?
No, from the base of the trunk.
Yeah. And I wish there was a good product that was really effective, but often a person ends up, after you try those products, if they have effect, great. If not, we usually end up having to prune them back to their point of origin. And as close back to the trunk as you can get them, the less apt they're, the less likely they're able to bounce back.
2,4-D is not effective. You use that for other...
Well, 2,4-D would be effective, but it would probably kill the entire tree. And
yeah,
so,
that's effective.
Unless a person was wanting to do that, there would be too much 2,4-D or other herbicides. So it would be too much risk of that getting transmitted into the mother tree.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, thank
Dave.
You.
701-293-9000, email studio at WDIYradionow.com. Don Kinsler. And issue Cass County Extension Horticulture's Lawn and Garden Radio. Lawns, plants, trees, shrubs, vegetable gardens, house plants, whatever it is. If you got a question, ask it.
Pineapple plants.
You're funny you say it because this is the email I was just going to read you about pineapples.
There's someone out west that has gotten pineapple to produce in a big pot indoors.
Well, this is the email. It says, Don, my wife heard if you cut the top off a pineapple and replant the top in a few years, you would have another pineapple.
Yes, you could. That makes a great science project for kids, too. Cut
but
the
you
got to
wait
off.
A year. A few years.
Cut the top off, put it in kind of a cactus-y type well-drained soil mix. It will root. And then there's kind of a procedure that a person follows. You can Google it. And in a couple of years, 1 or 2 years, they're capable of producing pineapple. I've got photos from a gentleman out western North Dakota who routinely gets harvestable pineapple in a big pot indoors.
I think
he puts it outdoors, the pot and all, outdoors during the summer, I believe.
But you just get one pineapple. Or is it grown to a tree, or what happens?
Well, a pineapple is kind of a big shrub. You know, I've never been to Hawaii or the areas where they typically grow pineapple. So, they're less of a tree, but more of a kind of big shrubby type thing.
Okay.
And a big shrubby type thing. That's a botanical term.
Yeah.
Interesting concept. But, yeah, it's worth a try.
All right, you want to do one more segment? It's kind of slow today, but we can do another segment. All right, we'll do one more segment with Don Kinsler, 701-293-9000, email studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. Got a question. lawns, gardens, shrubs, trees, plants, pineapple, whatever it is. Don is the guy to talk to. More with Don when we come back. Playing this in honor of America's 250th, right?
Well, that and you got the freedom to plant anything you want.
Oh, God, that is a stretch.
Plus, you make bread with wheat, so.
Well, I thought maybe you were playing it because I'm going to tell you about the 250-hour countdown to America's 250th anniversary. It's on now at Star Fireworks. Join the celebration on July 3rd for the final countdown to the red, white, and boom. Starting at 10 p.m., there's free pizza, drinks, prizes, live music with Pray for Rain. They're fantastic, by the way. And a fireworks grand finale like no other to celebrate 250 years of freedom at midnight. This is all going on at Star Fireworks.
Well, then light the fuse, baby. Let's go.
I'm doing it right now. Military, you will receive a 17.76% discount.
I like what they did there.
North Dakota residents, now you know you can't buy until after June 27th, but can preview now. Out-of-state residents, you can now purchase fireworks here in North Dakota. America's 250th anniversary celebration is on. It's happening at Star Fireworks. Again, it'll be July 3rd, starting at 10 p.m. Family-friendly event with, again, free pizza, drinks, prizes, live music with Pray for Rain. It'll be at their main big monster warehouse there, the storefront. South of Fargo, just off I-29, it's exit 56. And by the way, if the sign doesn't say star, just keep driving. Keep going. Look for that star sign, Johnny Star. His people take care of you. Throwing a big old party.
Yeah.
Don Kinsler's with us, Lawn and Garden Radio. If you got a question, 701-293-9000. Don't just second guess. So then you start crying because your lawn looks terrible, your vegetables ain't growing, or your trees are falling over.
Hey, Jay, are you and Alex doing the raised garden this year?
Number one, Don, that is not we. Well, I shouldn't say that. I guess it is we, because I had to put the raised garden together, because it's a raised garden on wheels, like a cart.
Oh, nice.
Cart, big one. So I had to put it together last year, and last year was just a flop. I mean, absolute disaster. This year's looks fantastic. I just built her a climbing what would you call it? Trellis kind of thing?
A trellis.
Shaped like a greenhouse over it so these things can climb and grow because they're getting big. And her tomatoes are in separate big, you know.
Yeah, this morning she was mentioning the tomatoes are in a separate pot.
Yeah, they're huge.
Beside the raised garden. And it sounds like you've got trellis for the peas and some things that require upward growth.
I can't remember what else she planted my snap peas in there, and I can't remember what else she planted in there. But yeah, it looks really good this year.
Nice.
Let's see. Quick heads up, breaking news. Looks like the Fargo Police Department has made an arrest of a suspect in the Azeem Holmes murder investigation. They announced that earlier this afternoon. It's Javon Allen, a 22-year-old, no permanent address. They arrested him in Minneapolis. And that's related to the ongoing homicide investigation that happened. Remember back August 3rd of last summer in downtown?
Yeah.
The arrest was made by the U.S. Marshals Service North Star Task Force based in Minneapolis, St. Paul. So an arrest has been made. All right. Let's see. All right, email Jay, will you please ask Don what type of spray to spray apple trees with to keep the bugs and wasps off of it in the early part of July?
Yes, well, we are coming up on the window, another window, important window, to spray our apple trees for the apple maggot. And, of course, the apple maggot is the insect that when you go to harvest the fruit, cut them open, and it causes the brown streaks inside the flesh of the apple. And so that adult fly starts laying eggs usually end of June, first part of July. So we're coming up on the time. So visit the locally owned garden centers for sometimes it's called just fruit tree spray. Mm-hmm. Spinosad is one active ingredient that works well, malathion, and there are others. And so a person sprays the apple tree to the point of runoff, making sure you're getting leaves and on the apple fruit. I use a 2-gallon pump sprayer. You know, that can spray pretty good. And if we've pruned our trees, then they aren't so terribly huge, so you can spray a little easier.
Yeah.
And you usually need to repeat that, follow the label for whichever product. And so we need to start that fairly soon. Was there another part to that question?
I think that was it.
Yeah, so visit the Garden Center or hardware store, national chain, read the labels, Apple Maggot. So usually on the label, there will be a section. So go to the fruit section, look for Apple, and then Apple Maggot, and then just follow those label directions. Very important. You know, if we don't do that, then it's disappointing. You go to harvest your apples and the insides, just aren't good.
Nasty.
And the other part of that was the wasp part. I've kind of observed that if you protect for these other insects, such as apple maggot, that pierce the skin, you see, they pierce the skin to deposit an egg, and if that skin has those little prick marks, then I think the bees and the wasps, or not bees, but wasps and hornets are able to sense that they kind of descend on your apple. Where if you...
it's a nightmare.
Yeah, and so if you have kept your apple sprayed, the skin is more intact, and then there's less problem with other insects as well.
All right. Wade, you're up on the Jay Thomas Show. Don Kinsler.
Hey, Don, is there like a deadline in the summer for planting shrubbery, stuff like that, if a guy wants to do some landscaping?
What was the first part of the question? I'm afraid I missed it, the first part.
Is there like a deadline, a cutoff point in the summer before you shouldn't plant shrubs?
One of the best inventions in the whole nursery trade was the plastic nursery pot. In the late 50s or early 60s, the plastic nursery pot allowed nurseries, garden centers, to pot up their stock, their shrubs, perennials, trees, and they have a shelf life. So they can keep them in good shape for us customers basically all summer and into the fall. And so we can continue planting. I'm still planting. A person should avoid maybe the hottest days of summer because it's just more stressful on the plants, but there's not really a window. If you had a preference, probably the first half of the summer to allow those plants to establish more for the last half of summer. But really, there's not a cutoff date. I've had success planting all summer long, but again, it's more stressful on a newly planted tree if you're doing it when it's 95 or 100.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Wade. Appreciate the phone call. 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Dan, you're up on a Jay Thomas Show. Don Kinsler.
Yeah, I have some apple trees that I'm a little concerned about. The apples are turning prematurely red. They're small, but they're turning red.
Wow.
What could cause that, and am I concerned about that?
Yeah, how long have you had the apple tree? Is it fairly old? Have you had experience with it?
Like 20, 25 years old, 20 years old at least.
Sure. And so you've had experience with that, and so this is kind of out of the norm for you, it sounds like.
Yes.
Yes.
I got McIntosh, Harrelson, and Wealthy. I like the pineapples, and I've had them for at least 20 years, and I've never had this happen before, that this early the apples are turning red.
That's crazy. They're turning red already.
Red isn't necessarily an indication that like they're going to be ripe at a little tiny age and start dropping off. The red pigment can form way, way earlier before the apples are ripe. So I think the apples are going to continue normally. For example, I just got an email from someone wondering if I could tell what their apple tree was from a very young, and they were about maybe marble size, maybe quarter size fruit, and they were also red too. So I think it's more related to the weather we've had that stimulated a little early red pigment. Early red pigment. Yeah, I got to look at mine too tonight. And so I think it's more weather related. I think they're going to continue to enlarge and ripen as normal, but I think the weather probably triggered an onset of early pigment. But it's interesting. The red pigment forms way before most apples are ripe. It's the background color. But interesting phenomenon. I'm going to spray, but I got to wait till it's not going to rain. And I'll be looking at mine, too. I'm glad you mentioned that. But I did notice that on the email that was sent to me about identifying an apple, too, that they were red at a young age.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate the phone call. 701-293-9000. Bob, you're up with Don Kinsler.
Hey, gentlemen.
Hey.
My question is, we're closing on a new house, probably September and October time frame. I'm just wondering how late in the season in our area, can we put sod down and have it be successfully growing and in terms of like daytime temperature, nighttime temperature, et cetera?
Well, when we during the years we had our garden center, I don't know if anyone remembers where the old Menards location was in Fargo.
No, where was that at?
Way
before my time.
Interstate. Well, anyway, we did the landscaping on that, and we had to sod that area right before the soil froze up. It was late October, and so you lay it, water it really, really well. And make sure it goes into winter hydrated. The preferred would be in September. But if a person can't do that, you can lay sod successfully in October, late October. But it's risky. It definitely has the risk of winter dehydration. You know, if we got no snow and it just sat there unprotected with the winter wind blowing over, it could dehydrate, desiccate.
Okay.
And so... you know, it, or should a person wait till next spring? If you wanted to minimize the risk, waiting till the following spring would be much less risky than a late October sodding.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. Good luck with that sod. Kevin, Jay Thomas Show.
Yeah. My mom planted, I think it's a mulberry tree a long time ago. It had a hard time getting grown, but now it's, first of all, what are they good for? And what
to run around? Is that run around the mulberry bush?
I think you're right. And
the fruit that looks like raspberries.
Yes, and so one of the best introduced maybe within the last 10 years or so, the Trader mulberry is in the nursery trade. It's wonderful. We've got one of those. And so the mulberries, wonderful for juices, jams, jellies, pies. Mine don't make it that far because I nibble them right off of the tree. Depending on the variety, Trader mulberry can get 30, 35 feet tall. Others are less. So how tall is the one you have?
Well, originally it was one tree, but I got ran over by a snowmobile. Then I got ran over by a four-wheeler. Then I got all kind of this. And right now it's... there's two coming out of that one root, and it's about 12 feet tall right now.
Sure. So anyway, they're a very useful, like you say. They're kind of shaped a little bit like a long raspberry, except purplish black, blackish purple in color. And
almost like a blackberry.
Yeah. You know, and the interesting flavor, you know, hard to describe exact flavors, but they're very tasty. Mulberry pie is great.
Kevin, make some pies with that tree.
I'd really make mead.
What's that?
Mead. No, honey and wine.
Oh, okay. There you go. There you go. Make some wine with it. Let's see. See some emails here. Don, I have suckers growing at the bottom of my apple tree. Should I remove these, and what is the best way?
Yep, do remove them. You know, similar to the basswood, apple trees are very prone to getting suckers growing out of the lower trunk where the trunk meets ground level. And a sucker stopper, sucker punch could both be tried. Effectiveness is kind of marginal. So pruning them right back at the point of origin where they come off of the trunk is the preferred. And on a younger apple tree, the sooner that you always get those off, the better. Like I say, you can almost rub them off when they're young.
Okay.
The suckers.
Let's see another email. What would you recommend, Don, for the best procedure for splitting and transplanting hostas? Is it too late this year?
It's not too late. You know, we've discussed in earlier shows, you know, there's the recommended time, and then there's a time that you can do it if you don't mind a little more risk. With hosta, the preferred time to dig and divide is when they're just poking their spears up in early May. You know, that's the best time. Before the leaves have expanded, then it's less stressful on the plant. But hosta have been dug, divided right now when they're in full leaf by many gardeners, too. There's just a little more chance of something going wrong because it's more stressful because the plant's in full growth.
Let's see another email. Don, I have no idea, never seen or heard of these. Do the sticky red balls you see on YouTube actually work to attract the apple tree pests and protect the apples?
Yes. You know, one way of monitoring or controlling these apple maggot flies, which is a kind of a fruit fly type fly, is to hang these. They look like an apple, like wood or plastic round apple. You hang those from the tree, coat them with sticky substance such as tanglefoot or heavyweight oil, something that the flies are going to stick to. And to actually catch all of the little flies, you're going to probably have to have 6 to 12 in a tree.
Oh, wow.
But the problem is, by the time that a little, by the time that adult fly gets stuck onto that little make-believe apple, they could have already injected eggs into your real apple.
They already did the damage.
Yeah, exactly. But it allows you to monitor that you actually have those apple maggot flies on your tree.
Okay.
So some people will use a few of those on a tree, and when they start catching these little black flies on the make-believe apples, then they'll spray. They'll know, hey, I got to get my spray on the apples.
All right. 21 after, Tim Moen calling in. Of course, Tim Moen, world-famous Critter Crumbs and Moen's Mouse Mix. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Talking a little lawn and garden.
All right, great.
So what's up, bud?
Oh, well, we've got some action going on in Fargo. I got the street fair coming up, so we'll have a booth out there with Mouse Mix and Critter Crumbs. Got a lot of the local stores in town have been ordering it and selling quite a bit for deer, rabbits, moles, and voles. I actually just let my dogs out in my backyard this morning, and I thought that my dog grabbed a shoe or something of my wife's and brought it out in the far end of the yard.
Oh, no.
And I got out there and looked. I thought it was a shoe, and it's a huge mole mound.
Oh.
So I've got a mole. They came into my backyard in the last like couple days, so now I've got some moles that I have to get rid of. And it's rained here in Hudson, Wisconsin, pretty heavy the last few days, so I'm going to let it dry out a little bit, and then I just rake those piles out and throw Critter Crumbs or Farm Pack all over, and he'll be out of there within the next day or two and back out in the woods.
I can't believe how many people hit me up or are always, hey, what is that stuff you always talk about? What is it? What are those things you use to keep the rabbits away? Was it your grandmother that invented this?
No, it was my mother.
Your mother.
And, she was selling it with her potpourri at craft shows.
That's what
and,
it was.
I made fun of her about it, you know, and then I got mice in my basement in the Twin Cities, sadly, but she took care of it for me. And then eventually we had people that were using it for deer and rabbits, and they said, oh, you know, it works really good. I wish it was a little stronger. So we made different strengths of it and had a lot of the farmers doing millions of dollars worth of farm equipment and everything. And so we have, three different strengths now. And the Critter Crumbs and Farm Pack, those ones work really great outdoors. And the Farm Pack bucket we sell to a lot of lake homeowners, because if you own a lake home in the fall, I mean, you want to do cabin, garage, pontoon, fishing boat. You might have your deer eating your hostas up at the cabin. Well, that's already like five or six items right there.
Yeah.
So it's a good deal to buy that big bucket and do a lot of things. But I always get a couple guys in Moorhead that come to my booth at the street fair and purchase from me because they've got a sloppy neighbor that has rabbits under his shed, and they have moles and voles in their yard. And they actually put a broad line on the property line, and they said that these animals won't cross into their yard or very little, and it's taken care of quite a bit of that just by doing the border.
Yeah, I've sworn by Critter Crumbs, this Mouse Mix, for years. I mean, because we used to have the massive rabbit problem with our potted plants and our stuff that's planted into the ground. And once I got my hands on this Critter Crumbs, I just spread it around. I have to do it every couple of weeks, depends on how much rain and stuff we get. But we've not had a problem at all with rabbits or critters eating our stuff. Actually, we got our new puppy, another West Highland, and for some reason that dog hates flowers. He has managed to almost rip apart every potted plant outside that Alex has flower. He tears the heads off, then runs around the yard with the flower in his mouth. So I'm like, what the hell are we going to do? And I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna throw some Critter Crumbs in these pots. I threw Critter Crumbs in there. That dog will not go near those pots. He will not try to climb up them pots anymore.
Right, yeah, and I had somebody who they had a dog that was like running around by their shed. Well, they threw some under the shed and the animal got out of there or whatever, but the dog was still going over there and it was getting rabbit poop in its feet and running into the house tracking rabbit poop everywhere. So then they put it around the outside or kind of did like a moat around the shed area. Well, then the dog quit going over there, and hence they wouldn't get rabbit poop tracked all over their carpet and everything.
See, these things.
So that's kind of nice, especially like in the wintertime when the snow is melting, it gets all slushy and wet mixed with rabbit droppings. You don't want your dog in that area.
Exactly.
But it's a nice versatile product that you can throw handfuls under a building or under your deck, and it'll get raccoons, rabbits, wood, all kinds of stuff out from under there. I know a lot of people at their lake cabin, they get skunks and woodchucks, you know, crawling under their park models and things like that, too. So, it's a great product. And, I mean, you want me to give you a little rundown of which stores
Fargo Moorhead? Yeah, Ronnie's telling me my ear. I got 60 seconds so quickly. Where can folks get them?
Well, at the Lakes area in DL, we're at Max, we're at the Dunvilla store, we're at Ace in Perham, every Ace Hardware in Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo, Wahpeton Ace, Tractor Supply Company Ace, or Tractor Supply Company in Wahpeton, all Max and Runnings, and you can get us online at mousemix.us.
There you go. Tim, appreciate it, man. And Tim will be at the Fargo Street Fair. Don, how do people get a hold of you when you're not doing Lawn and Garden Radio?
Send me an email, donald.kinzler, KINZLER, at ndsu.edu.
All right. Thanks, Don.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
All right, let's hit some topics when we come back. Jay Thomas Show. Then go to the hose. All right, Jay Thomas Show, it's coming up on 3:58. Tomorrow is the big second annual Hebron and Allsogger Salute to Community Service Picnic. It's from 3 to 7 at Hebron Brick Supply, their big, beautiful headquarters in West Fargo. We'll be benefiting North Dakota Minnesota Veterans Honor Flight. We'll be taking free will donations. Food will be on hand, pulled pork, brats, the old-fashioned hot dogs, you know, kind of snap.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and chips. That all comes from Allsogger Meats. Also, a beer wagon will be provided by Brutus Brick House. Live music from the 60s guys, and I'll be out there from 2 to 5 doing this show. Also, some attractions as well. Restored Willie's Army Jeep, vintage 40s fire truck. And this is for the family. It's a family-friendly atmosphere. And also, raffle prizes include electric golf cart, a Henry rifle, and more. So come on out, celebrate and honor our local veterans. Have some great food, live music, prizes, and bring the family. You're supporting a great cause tomorrow. Weather's going to be beautiful tomorrow, too. 3 to 7 p.m., Hebron Brick Supply, West Fargo. Second annual Hebron and Allsogger Salute to Service Community Picnic, benefiting the North Dakota Minnesota Veterans Honor Flight. Ronnie, you've been on a couple of those.
I have. It's as incredible as you might imagine, and even more.
Let's see. Email says, Jay, this town has a serious rabbit problem. Time the residents start taking care of them. Well, probably don't want to be doing that. That's why I use Critter Crumbs. Keeps me out of the clink.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think you want to be, there's certain rules, ordinances about discharging of certain fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would include pellet guns, too.
Right,
so
yes.
You might not. Yeah, I got a question. Now, I was 10 years old. Ronnie, you'd have been a little bit younger, but I heard a caller on Scott Henning's show earlier this morning. I think his name was Ray.
Okay.
He was calling from. But he had brought up, he was calling to... Basically, what he's saying was, he wasn't saying anything against the big 250 celebration that's been going on basically all year, and it's really going to amp up here in the next week or so. But he was saying it just doesn't seem like he thought the bicentennial, you know, back in 1976, that year the celebrating was way more over the top than what we're seeing this year for the 250th.
Well, I got opinions on why I believe that to be.
Okay, and so do I. But my question, I want to know from you listeners, what do you remember from the bicentennial year back in 1976 when we celebrated 200 years? 701-293-9000. I'm just curious, what do you remember from that? And did it seem then that to you that that just seemed like it was bigger, a bigger celebration than what is happening this year? And I'm going to say they're having a big celebration, doing all kinds of events, but sitting there, I mean, as he's talking, I'm like, man, you know, I was only 10 years old. And then I started thinking about it. Now, again, at 10 years old, probably don't remember a lot, but I do. And maybe because I was like kids, so maybe it just seems so over the top. But man, like in my hometown, I remember, especially in the summer, the entire summer, springs, I mean, everything was decked out in red, white, and blue. I mean, everything, people's yards, stores. They even had the downtown, like Howard Street, there all summer long. There were 4th of July, not 4th of July, but American-themed decorations that would, you know, go across the street from lamppost to lamppost, and the storefronts were done. And I remember everybody was wearing, you know, red, white, and blue or American flag shirts or, you know, bell-bottom jeans, whatever. It just, and again, you're a kid, so things seem bigger. At least for me, again, I was 10 years old. I remember marching. I was in Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, whatever, marching in the town parade for 4th of July, or for 4th of July for the bicentennial. And I just remember how big that parade was for a small town. It was massive, and it was 100%. All about America and the bicentennial. 701-293-9000. Ron in Moorhead, you're up. Jay Thomas Show.
Yeah, I remember it well back in 1976. I was a junior in high school.
Okay.
And I remember everything. Every product, it seemed, was red, white, and blue. Bicycles came out from Schwinn, red, white, and blue. Cars were decorated red, white, and blue, mostly white. And people's attire. My grandmother had a pair of matching shoes and a dress and everything all matched, red, white, and blue. Gaudy is everything, but it matched. And that's what I remember. Everything was everything.
Yeah.
And flags everywhere, you know?
Yes.
It was well celebrated.
So it wasn't just me as a 10-year-old kid, just because kids, you know, things are bigger than your kid. Because I remember I got a pair of American flag themed Ked sneakers. To wear that summer. I remember those too. And yeah, I remember the town just completely decked out over the top and everybody's yards and the clothes. And so do you think the same thing? It was a bigger celebration back then than what we're seeing now?
Absolutely. Yeah. Plus, I felt like this caller did earlier from the other show. I've been thinking too, where's the celebration? Where's the hype? You know, where is it? And it's just not existing. Not even in the stores.
Yeah, because wasn't there like stuff that they were running on TV, like bicentennial minutes and stuff like that?
Yeah, I don't remember that, but,
Interesting.
But
okay.
Yeah, but possibly. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Ron. Appreciate it. Out to Mapleton.
I was 4, so.
Oh, you were 4?
Yeah. A little less memory.
Hey, Fuller, you're up, Jay Thomas Show.
Hi there.
Hey.
I agree with all of that. It was quite a commotion in 1976. The thing I remember was the display of that locomotive down about where the theaters at West Acres are now. It came on that spur that they call Osgood. But at any rate, they had a steam engine locomotive. They called it the Freedom Train.
Oh, okay.
And we went over and looked at that. That was quite a spectacle.
Why do you think it was a bigger celebration back in 1976 than it is this go around for the 250th?
Well, it was kind of the first great notable.
Yeah.
Obviously, we didn't remember the centennial, but I don't know, just an even number or something, but. I think civic pride was quite high then.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the country's always been split. That's just a given, you know, the way it is. But I just don't think it was as divided as it is today. I'm not saying there's not American pride. There is a lot of it. But I just don't think it's the same as it was back then. It was all about, hey, we're America and damn proud of it.
That's it.
Yep. Exactly.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Fuller. Appreciate it. 701-293-9000. Let's go to James in Fargo. Hey, James, you're up. Jay Thomas Show.
Hey, Jay. I was 16 going on 17 then, and I think a lot of it was just how different our society was. Mm-hmm. We knew our neighbors.
Yeah.
There was no social media. It was a different time, and that was our way of, you know, you couldn't go online and show pride or not pride or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And I really think that's the bulk of this, because I really think social media is the scourge of our country at the moment.
Yeah,
so.
You and me both. I mean, does it offer good? It does, but I think it offers more scourge than it does good. I really do.
Absolutely. But if you know, I lived here. They had the Freedom Train they had to lay tracks all the way out to West Acres.
That's what ecologists said. So there were no tracks out there? They laid tracks just for that Freedom Train?
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
They laid tracks just to get it out there.
Holy smokes.
So, I mean, you know, we kind of went over the top for some of that stuff.
And I'm wondering if, you know, the 250th, if you went to small town America, small town North Dakota, small town South Dakota, Minnesota, whatever, if you see a lot more celebrating it, when I say celebrating it decoration-wise, or you know what I'm saying, if it's more prevalent in small town America.
And I don't know, but I mean, back then we used to have block parties where, you know, 20, 30 families would get together, and those days are gone, unfortunately.
My mother and the neighbor lady, every summer, the city would come block the street on our block, and we had those block parties, and
they were awesome.
Yeah, the tables were in the street. And then you go to people's houses, whatever, and everybody came out. Every summer, my mom and Bonnie threw a block party.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jay.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. 701-293-9000. Larry, you're up, Jay Thomas Show.
Hey, Jay.
Hey.
I was 13 back then. I don't know. I don't really remember a lot about only the month of July. Just seemed like there was a lot of stuff. But I think it's more like, personally, it's like Christmas and all the other holidays now. They're only here for, you know, Christmas used to seem like it lasted, you know, the whole month of December. Now, I mean, they play the Christmas movies in November. It's just, you know, nothing's celebrated like it used to be. Times have just really changed.
You know, you bring up Christmas. You know what the saddest thing is that, you know, Christmas, I'm not saying it's not special. Of course it is. But years ago, I mean, you didn't see any Christmas stuff in the stores until after Thanksgiving. Now they got that stuff up.
They're trying to wipe Thanksgiving out.
Right after Halloween, boom, the Christmas stuff is up already. There's no anticipation anymore.
Nobody decorates their houses like they used to do back in the day. You know, it's a few people. You know, it used to be everybody had light bulbs on their houses. You know, it's just a faster pace of life, and people just need to. It'll never slow down and be like it was back in the day. Technology is just ruining everything. But I'm going to hang up and listen, guys. I love your show.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it, Larry. Jana is in Moorhead. Hey, Jana, Jay Thomas Show.
Hi, I'm feeling very old listening to how old all of you were in 76. I was having my first child, so life was rather busy.
Yeah.
But I remember there were a lot of memorable things, like not these cheap, tacky decorations that you buy at Walmart that are cardboard and they disintegrate.
Yeah.
People had beautiful decorations, but I still have some, very memorable things.
Like what?
Like mugs and jars and coins and different things that people kept to remember the bicentennial.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Weren't there bicentennial quarters that came out?
Right. Right. It was made a bigger deal. Yeah. I mean, there's talk about it. But the decorations out right now are no different than every year's 4th of July decorations. Your last caller, we always had all the neighbors got together, and it was a big neighborhood party in the backyard every year. That was fun.
Oh, yeah, the block parties. Yeah, like, so my mom and our neighbor Bonnie, they spent weeks putting together our block parties every summer, and man, the people came out, and the tons of food, and you know, even people from, you know, that weren't right on our, you know, you call them block parties, but they didn't have to live on your block, but we had people, you know, from blocks away that would come for the block parties, and it was a great, and it would go, it would start at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and it'd go till like 10 o'clock at night. It was just all the kids running around. We'd have a blast. It's a shame those times are gone. Jan, appreciate the phone call down to Webster, South Dakota. Our buddy Greg. Hey, Greg, J. Tommy Show.
Yes, I agree with your other callers. It's not like it used to be. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I was 12 years old in 1976. And I remember the Bicentennial Minute on CBS. All the movies, Hollywood movie stars would be on there, and they would be discussing certain parts of history of, you know, back when our nation was formed. It was just great to listen to that.
Yeah.
And and then you had your Bicentennial Quarters, mm-hmm. like you were talking about, and it seemed like everybody was a lot more. And granted, we were just coming off the Vietnam War at that time.
That's true.
But our nation, yes. But our nation was still whole yet. It was split, but it was put together by that time. And people banded together. I grew up on a farm, so on the farm we had a big get-together, neighborhood and family, and it was just a fun time. Just like you said, things are different now. Yes. Things are more speedy, fast. Nobody cares. It's the 250 doesn't seem like the 200 was. I'll tell you that right now.
No, it doesn't.
And I'll let somebody else talk. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it. Let's go. Who's been waiting the longest? Mark here in Fargo. Then we'll get to Grant. Mark, you're up on the Jay Thomas Show.
Hey, Jay. Hey. Is the event at the Hebron Brick tomorrow?
Yes.
So I just drove by there. There's two bald eagles sitting in a tree right next to Hebron Brick.
Are you serious? See?
But it'd be cool if they stayed for tomorrow.
Well, CC, we've already started decorating for the 4th of July there at Hebron Brick. We get those balls.
I've heard eagles are a big fan of old-fashioned wieners. So.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Did you just call me old?
Whoops.
That's funny. Really? So there's two of them there, huh?
Sitting in a big tree right next to Hebron. I just drove by there.
Well, hopefully they're there tomorrow for the celebration.
That would be awesome.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. How cool is that? Grant and Horace, Jay Thomas Show.
Hey, Jay, just remember back in 1976 when the summer after the 4th of July, the Summer Olympics was going on, and our main man, Bruce Jenner, won the decathlon, and everyone was fascinated. The TV, every night he did another
That's
event.
That's right.
Everyone was... You know, he did the swim and thing. Oh my God, he's gonna win it! He's gonna win it!
Yeah, weren't they up in Canada that year?
I don't remember. Yeah, probably. And then the guy won the American, won the marathon, 26-mile marathon.
I don't remember, but Bruce Jenner. Yeah, I forgot about Jenner. Man.
But I mean, that was the year Olympics, and everyone was just like 1776, and America was kicking everyone's butt, and it was just awesome.
It was. Grant, appreciate it. When we come back, more of your calls. What do you remember from the Bicentennial back in 1976? Somebody earlier today on Scott Hennig's show said it's just not the same this go-around
as it
was.
Certainly doesn't feel the same.
The feel isn't the same. What do you remember, Jay Thomas Show? Damn Yankees, right?
No, Network.
God, sounds like Tommy Shaw singing from...
It could be. The band's called Network, but you may remember it from the National Lampoon's European Vacation soundtrack.
I try not to remember anything from that horrible, horrible sequel.
Yeah, there was...
So bad.
There was like two good things in it, and that song was one of them, so...
No, that was so bad. I don't know which one was worse, European Vacation or Vegas Vacation. They were horrible.
I just remember that line, you know, he's telling him what German is for a number or whatever he is. Yeah, pardon me, my wife and I are looking for sex. Schweinhund closes the door.
Some of the stuff you remember from movies is beyond me, man. Kudos to you, though. Hey, June special's about ready to run out at PetroServe USA. Join that free PetroServe USA Rewards program. You get 5 cents off every gallon of gas.
I mean, why wouldn't you do that?
Exactly. Yeah. And it costs you nothing to sign up. I love it. I've been signed up for quite a... It takes you like a minute to sign up. Still going on during the month of June, two 20-ounce Coke products. You buy two of them, you get one free. Two for $3, Johnsonville. Boy, that's Johnsonville beef hot dogs. There you go. That's summer,
country,
baby.
Yeah.
Big flavor country.
Yes, yes.
Plus killer deals on Cheez-Its, Pringles, Red Bull, deli burritos, and more for those road trips. Download the app or just sign up when you're in store.
Yep. Got the famous hot stuff pizza, the hamburger, the big burger that I had in West Fargo. It's
awesome. That's right. We're munching on that at cruise night.
Yeah.
PetroServe USA, helping America fuel better.
And I'm told there is one near you, and there's some grand opening
up everywhere.
Coming up in Grand Forks, I heard.
That's right.
Something about that. Yeah.
All right. Welcome to the program. This is hour number three. Just toss this out there out of the blue. Love the responses. Earlier today, Scott Hannon's show, a caller called in by the name, I want to say, I'm pretty sure his name was Ray. And he was calling to talk about how he said, you know, this 250th celebration is just not the same as it was back for the bicentennial in 1976. And I'm thinking, dude, what are you talking about, man? And then I'm like, I was like, yeah, you know what? I think this guy might be right.
No.
I mean, we're celebrating. Yeah. In North Dakota, we got Theodore Roosevelt.
Yes.
You got the big whatever's going on the mall in D.C. You had the
UFC Great American State Fair and rodeo event, appreciation of rodeo.
But when I started thinking about it, again, I was only 10 years old. But then I started thinking, I'm like, you know, this guy, he's right. I mean, I remember that summer. I mean, throughout the year, but especially in the summer, everything was decked out in, you know, America, red, white, and blue.
Yep.
People's homes, all, and not just for the 4th, it was all summer long. Even the town was, at least my hometown, was decorated like you would during Christmas. And everybody's running around with red, white, and blue clothing on. And
yeah.
So, and I remember marching in the big hometown parade, and it was a massive parade.
Yeah, and I will go back to, you know, I'm sure there's some of the things the callers have suggested as well, but I'll go back to, you've seen this movie, The Dazed and Confused. Mm-hmm. You remember when they were about to, the last day of school,
yep.
That teacher that said, yeah, and remember, you know, when you're off this summer, we're going to be celebrating this summer, a bunch of white colonialists that blah, blah, blah. Blah. I mean, that's what it's become now.
Yeah,
it's you're a patriot.
Yeah, how dare you be a patriot?
Yeah.
And I am loving. The question I've been asking, listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I'd like to get your take on it. If you remember the bicentennial, 1976, and what it was like, what do you remember from the bicentennial year in celebration back in 1976? 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Those people are bringing up stuff I forgot. One call brought up the coins. I completely forgot we had the bicentennial coin.
I've seen a few of those quarters.
I think I got a couple tucked away in my coin collection.
And, you know, I've been seeing this, and I'm guessing it's because of the America 250.
Mm-hmm.
Some old reels of television shows from that year.
I haven't seen these.
You may or may not have seen these. It was people dressed up as our founding fathers, Bob Hope, Jack Benny, Red Skelton, Michael Landon, all these people singing America the Beautiful.
No, that I don't remember.
John Wayne was standing there. You know, it's...
only 10.
America isn't going to work unless we give it a fair try.
Well, they had the bicentennial mix.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember those? 701-293-9000. Back to the phones in a second. And, you know, another caller brought up that she remembered, you know, the homes were decked out for the bicentennial. And even now, for 4th of July, whether it's a bicentennial year or not, you notice it just doesn't seem as many homes are showing the American pride. And I wonder how much of that is people want to, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I believe it's true. People want to, but they're afraid that their home will get vandalized or anything they put out there will get vandalized. Because people just think they can do whatever the hell they want now. You're flying all this American. No, yeah. You can't be patriotic.
Not in my HOA.
When it becomes dark, I'm going to come over and vandalize. I wonder how much of that there is. 701-293-9000. All right, we better get the phones. They're full. I'll get to the emails in a bit. Mark, you're up on a Jay Thomas show.
So this might cost me my man card.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I grew up in Grand Forks and I have an identical twin brother, and you couldn't tell us apart back then.
Okay.
And my mom put us in a fashion show, and with her, she made the clothes because we didn't have a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And we won, so they wanted us to be the marshals of the bicentennial parade in Grand Forks. But that day, there was tornado warnings and everything. They canceled all of it. So that's what I remember. But I seem to remember my dad would always throw neighborhood barbecues.
Yeah.
And there was a lot more small community events. I'm sure there's just as many large ones. But in Grand Forks on the 4th of July, there were the marshmallow clouds, and this was before weather spotters were all about.
Mm-hmm.
And they canceled it because they thought there was going to be a tornado.
Wow. Wow. That's a memory. Holy smokes. Mark, appreciate the phone call. Russell, you're up on a Jay Thomas show.
I graduated from high school in 1976, and we were called the bicentennial class, and our invitations to our graduation and everything at bicentennial on it, and Jostens was the ring.
Yep.
High school ring sales, and we had rings that were the bicentennial class, and
oh man,
I didn't think it was any use getting that bicentennial ring because everything was bicentennial hot dogs, bicentennial clothes, bicentennial everything. So
well,
that's what I remember.
Somebody earlier called up and said he remembered that year Schwinn bicycles had a bicentennial
bicycle
10 speed.
Yeah,
every retailer tied into it in some way to sell coolers.
Mm-hmm.
Postcards, you name it, everything.
Do you wish now you would have got one of them Jostin class bicentennial class rings?
No.
No, okay.
No, I don't.
Okay. You probably would have lost it anyway, like I lost mine. So,
yeah.
Thanks, Russell. Appreciate it. 701-293-9000. Tom, Jay Thomas Show.
Hi, I remember. GM had a Chevy Nova that was bicentennial.
Was it a Nova or no? Wait a minute, because I think we actually had somebody had sent us a couple of years ago a request to be filmed, and they had a bicentennial Chevy Vega.
Well, there could have been a Vega. Maybe it was a Vega wouldn't have impressed me at 22 years old.
No, no.
But I know the Nova was.
Oh.
And I think they maybe even was a pace car or something in Indy 500 or something. But anyway, yes. It was the whole year was bicentennial all year in every facet of our life, I guess. So.
You know what? I'm looking it up right here. They did. Yeah, I'm looking at pictures of it right now. It was called the... it came out in 74, but it was called the Spirit of America Chevy Nova.
That's the one I'm thinking of. Yep. Yes, it is.
I'm looking at it right now, and they are very, very rare. Yeah, and they were white, and they had a red and blue stripe that went from just above the door handle all the way to the front fender.
Red and blue trim. Yes,
yep.
Sir.
And then they had, where the Nova emblem is, they had a American flag banner on the car.
Well, I'm a 70s child. I don't remember much from the 70s, but by golly, I remember that.
That's funny. A true
Have
car
a great
guy.
Day.
Thanks, man. Appreciate the phone call. 701-293-9000. Dave, you're up. Jay Thomas Show.
Yeah, I remember the bicentennial out in Sabin, Minnesota. Beer garden. Remember decking out my wagon and hooking it up to my bicycle and pulling it down in front of Ronnie's bar and the Crowbar and Community Center had something going on. I was only 2 years old, but I still remember decking out the radio flyer wagon and bungee cording it to the back end of my bicycle and going up and down the street. And I believe they had a street dance that night too as well.
How crazy is that? It's just, I don't think we'll ever have those again, days like that again, or moments in time like that.
Well, I mean, I'm not naive enough to think there wasn't some even commercialism back then.
Well, of course,
with everything
was
dressed up, and obviously the Nova, the other products that were to that era. But I know there have been people that are trying to bring that dream and vision and what America once was back. And there's so many people now that really, was America great?
Yeah.
What was really great about America?
Exactly. Dave, great memories. 701-293-9000, which you remember from the bicentennial year. This is just, it's just not the same behind
I mean, that
today that we had back
you
then.
Think about it, it's a lot of the callers and emailers describing community.
Yeah.
You knew everybody that lived on your block. You went to school every morning and began
it. But everybody was proud to be American.
I was just going to say that. You went to school every year and you said the Pledge of Allegiance. Yeah. It's people have tried to take that away. Some of us are trying to bring it back.
Yeah. Eric, you're up. Jay Thomas Show.
Yeah, the best thing I remember from 1976 was the U.S. Freedom Train.
Boy, that's come up now multiple times.
Yeah.
I got multiple emails regarding that. And you're talking, because it came here into Fargo, right?
Yeah, it came to Fargo, and I saw it when it came down to the city, because I was about 5 or 6 years old at the time. And I remember the train was so huge that the wheels themselves were bigger than my dad, And as a five-year-old kid, to you see something like that, that's a huge memory to remember. And they were actually trying to get all three trains going again for this year, but they ran out of finances after they got one refurbished.
Oh, really? I can't be a cheap project. Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it. Nick, Jay Thomas Show.
Hey, Jay. How's it going?
Good.
Ronnie mentioned about saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
Growing up, Brooks Harbor Elementary in West Fargo still does that today.
Do they? Really?
I remember going to my kid's music concert, and we all had to stand up and say the Pledge of Allegiance. I actually got chills because I was like, this is good stuff right here from back in the day. I didn't know that they still did this.
That's fantastic. Yeah, because I remember in school, the principals or principal, vice principal, they would get on the, each room had their speaker, and you'd stand up, and then the principal would recite the pledge, and you all stood up and did it. Yeah, that's how you started your day.
Yep.
Wow, that's kudos to
still
Brooks
going
Harbor.
On in West Fargo.
Because we rock in West Fargo, baby.
You betcha. Thanks, Jay.
Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it. 701-293-9000.
That's awesome. I probably would have had tears if I would have witnessed that.
All right, emails. Jay, the reason for the Tame Down celebration for the 250 is from the Dems having major TDS, and I think a good portion truly hate America. It's that simple. Jay, my dad grew a beard like Lincoln, his only beard ever for the 1976 bicentennial.
Wow.
That's cool. Jay, another email. My grandfather even bought a brand new Dodge pickup that year with a paint job of the country's birthday. It was a white pickup with the flag on the back panel of the pickup. Jay, every day on TV, remember they had this day in history and it was interesting.
Well, like I said, saying the Pledge of Allegiance in school, even the school rooms decorated, toward the top of the chalkboards, they had pictures of America's founding fathers.
Yes.
They had the flag, all that,
Well, I remember every all our classrooms growing up.
Yeah.
Maybe not all, but but I remember Washington's picture in the classroom.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Right by the chalkboard.
Yeah.
Big picture of George Washington.
Yep.
And I remember bicentennial year, you know when you get your class pictures and then you'd get, this was in grade school, maybe they didn't do this when you went to grade, but then you would get the rectangular picture and it had all your classmates around on one picture. And then it had your teacher on one side and the principal on the other. And then in the middle, it was your, you know, your school. And the bicentennial year, that thing was all decked out with like the Liberty Bell and flags and stuff. Let's see. Hang on, callers. Jay, there were many transistor radios that were made for the bicentennial. I've been collecting radios for years. The one in the middle of the picture is from 1976 and has never been opened. 50 years old and never out of the package. I also have many others. Yeah, there it is. He sent me a picture of his radio.
That's pretty cool. I saw the picture.
Spirit of 76 radio. Let's see. Hang on, Tim. You're going to be next in Colm. Jay, I agree with your callers. I remember the collectible coins and the general excitement of the bicentennial. I was six. I'm sure we learned about the bicentennial in school and left for the summer excited about it. I don't think that happens much now, unfortunately. My sister has commented on how people she works with have no idea that it's the 250th.
I know. It's
wow. Maybe we should all do a little something to decorate and or hype up the fort. Someone made it awesome for us kids. Maybe we can do the same. P.S. Our painted red, white, and blue house now has started. Ah, this is my, you must be my neighbor. I was just talking about your house. Angelie, is that, there's a house in our neighborhood that's all done up, painted red, white, and blue. And then the garage now has stars on the garage, Ronnie. It's just down from our house. This has got to be my neighbor that's emailing.
Yeah.
Tim, you're up on a Jay Thomas show.
Yeah, Jay, several things with the bicentennial. Case Tractor came out with a bicentennial tractor that was painted red, white, and blue with stars.
Oh,
just
wow.
Like the American flag. Oh. Winchester Model 94 bicentennial rifle.
Holy smokes.
I bought a sport. I my first Harley Davidson, I went down to Aberdeen. There's a real dealer. He was a no-nonsense kind of dealer. And he offered, this was in 77 when I went down there. I could have bought a 1976 Sportster bicentennial. It was all decked out, you know, bicentennial theme. But I bought the 1977.
Oh.
And one other thing. Well, I bought the 77 because it was, you know, I didn't care for that bicentennial look. Yeah. Anyway, one other thing, and I'm out baling hay, so I can't look this up, but I think there was also a sailing ship expo that came into the United States. Ships from around the world, or countries from around the world that had a sailing ship, they came to the U.S. I think that did happen in 76.
We'll look that up during the break here and see. Yeah, because in 76, didn't Harley, weren't they then AMX, and didn't they, yeah, and they did a bicentennial themed bike, and it was basically the tank and fenders were white, then it had red and blue stripes on it. Am I right? For some reason, that sounds familiar.
I can't remember the color scheme. Yeah, it was AMF. I can't remember the exact color scheme, but I didn't care for it. Because the 77 Sportster was black.
Yeah, and now that I think about it too, somebody said Schwinn Bicycles did something for 76, but I remember Huffy had, when they had their bikes that looked like motocross bikes, that they did a white bicentennial bicycle. Tim, appreciate it. 701-293-9000, Kevin, Jay Thomas Show.
Hey, good afternoon, Jay.
Hey.
Yeah, 76, it goes back, 13 years old, big Kiss fan of the day.
Yep.
Had to have the Spirit of 76 poster with Peter Chris with the drum and the Bloody Bandit.
I had it. I forgot about that.
The flag in the back. Yeah, the flag in the background. It was a real cool poster. Had it hanging for a long time.
I completely forgot about that. I had that poster. Yes, he had the silver snare drum and, yeah, the white bandage with a fake red blood spot on it. I forgot about that poster. Yep. Yes, buddy. Yes.
Old glory.
Love it.
Blown in the wind behind him.
How cool would it be to have that original poster still?
Yeah, I wish I still had it.
That's awesome, Kevin. Appreciate it. All right, I know I got full phone lines. I got Devin. I don't have time to get to Devin now, so.
I told him.
All right. Oh, he knows?
Yep.
All right. I'd ask Devin what he remembers from the bicentennial, but I'm quite sure he was just a gleam in daddy's eye back then, wasn't even around. All right, Mike, hang on. Joe's in Detroit Lakes. Phones are ringing. We'll get you next, Jay Thomas Show. 437, Custom Truck and Auto Shine. Time check. Check them out. More than just a detail shop.
1976, I bet concert tickets were like $10.
My Kiss concert ticket from 1977, I still have the stub. It was $10.50 to see Kiss. At or the, was that 78? 77 or 78?
And that was the world-famous deck, Duluth Entertainment Center?
And I believe, it was the Kiss Alive 2 tour, if I'm not mistaken.
Nice.
All right, before we get back to the calls, and we got a bunch of them to get to, let's find out what's coming up on Valley News tonight. Of course, you get it here on the radio if you listen on 970 WDAY at 5:30 at 6 o'clock. It's the Rundown. Devin Fry, how you doing, buddy?
You guys don't want to talk to me about what I was doing in the bicentennial
Dude,
year?
There's no way you were even born then, were you?
No, I was born in 1993.
That's what I figured.
I was negative 17, best years of my life.
I didn't think you were around. You missed a great stuff. Dude, that's what we're talking about this afternoon. This 250, I mean, yeah, we're having a celebration, but it doesn't even compare to what America was like in 1976 for the bicentennial. It was crazy over the top. I mean, nuts.
I'm a history nerd, and so I've seen a ton of news clips and stuff from that time frame, and yeah, it sounds like it.
Oh, yeah.
Looking back, obviously, looked like it.
Every company, everything was bicycles, motorcycles, cars, radio, everything was bicentennial. It was fantastic.
Yeah, Evel Knievel was red, white, and blue colors, wasn't he?
Awful Knievel, yeah. Yep, that's what we called him growing up. Awful Knievel.
We'd watch him. Guy?
Evel Knievel. Oh yeah, yeah.
Great. Oh, I thought he was like a fictional character. I didn't know.
What would? No, come on.
I had no clue. I'm learning right now at this second.
Okay, wait. What the hell? You just said I'm a history buff, and you
yeah, Evel. Okay, I mean like you know wars. And
Yeah, not Evel. Great story. I mean, his story is just unbelievable. Huh, but you'd watch him. Do his jumps on was a wide world of sports,
yeah.
And then we'd go on the alley and get some garbage cans or cinder blocks and planks of wood and try to jump our bicycles and rack our junk every time.
We had Jeff Hardy that made us jump off of ladders and stuff when I was growing up. That's kind of similar.
I remember Jeff. No, that ain't the same, dude.
Well, and his kid would have been around
Robbie.
In that time. Robbie Knievel would have been around.
I believe
in that
Robbie
time.
Passed away not too long ago. Yeah. And now his daughter. Is his daughter or Robbie's? I can't remember. There's still a Knievel out there that's doing jumping. Yeah, go back and look at old footage of Evel Knievel jumping. You'll get sucked into that rabbit hole, pal.
Including the world-famous, Caesar's Palace.
Ooh. Caesar's, yep. And the school buses and the semis he jumped. And the guy's broken. He broke every bone in his body like multiple times. And get right back up, heal, and do it again. Quite a life he led. Hey, what's coming up on the news tonight, pal?
Oh, yeah, right, my job.
Yeah.
well, of course, the big story is the breaking news we got just a couple hours ago, an arrest made in the August 3rd shooting, the fatal shooting of Azeem Holmes. A 22-year-old named Javon Allen was arrested in Minneapolis earlier today in connection to that shooting. Last time we had an arrest in this shooting, it didn't last very long, and so we'll see what happens this time around. There's a press conference tomorrow morning that we'll be covering as well, so be sure to stay tuned there. Our reporters are working on a couple of cool things. Sydney Zatz is going to a memorial Mario Kart tournament for Isadora Wangle.
Okay.
It was apparently her favorite game, and so they're using it as a Mario Kart tournament to raise money for Solera, which is the former Rape and Abuse Crisis Center.
Yeah.
And so pretty continuing to try to keep her name out there and keep awareness up and raise some money for a good cause there.
I believe that's at Paradox Comics, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Correct. Yep.
What's Cave Fire got tonight?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I haven't done these radio calls in so long. I forgot.
Don't worry about it.
We do have some breaking stuff here, though.
What?
North Dakota State for football. The Division I cabinet is meeting now. They have approved a measure permitting teams transitioning from FCS to FBS to immediately be eligible for postseason competition.
Oh, that's huge, dude.
That just came through. Ross Dellinger from Yahoo Sports putting it on
social media. So it is going to happen.
Yep. Assuming they meet all FBS requirements, meaning that they get enough wins to be bowl eligible, North Dakota State can play in a bowl game this year.
This finally is going to be a fun I'm a huge Bison fan, Bison football. But it got to the point where the games were just boring because they were always, or for the most part, a blowout. Mm-hmm. This is going to be fun. The fact that they can go into championship play.
Yep. Yep.
That's
bowl games, the college football playoff.
I was just going to say, imagine if in their inaugural season they're able to win
that league and
appear in the football subdivision playoff against like a Notre Dame or a Miami.
Oh, my God. That's huge news, dude.
The bummer is they probably wouldn't be hosting a first-round game.
Right, no.
That would be a bummer. But otherwise, it'd be a great time.
The NDSU, little old Fargo, North Dakota, NDSU ends up in the championship. That would be nuts, man. All right, Devin, appreciate it. Thanks, brother.
Of course, guys. Have a good one.
You got a Valley News Live Rundown brought to you by Warehouse Wonder. Quality finds at unbeatable prices. Find them on Facebook. Also find them at 1500 23rd Street South in Moorhead. They are open 7 days a week, Monday through Sunday from 9 to 6. Love the place. Ceiling fans, light fixtures for indoor, outdoor, shower head sets, towel bars, home security essentials, wiring faucets, kitchen or bathroom, and the top brands plus the now selling appliances. You can buy by the pallet at unbelievable prices. I believe up to 65%+ off. Love Warehouse Wonders. All right, let me grab some of these calls, and we'll get to Matt Carlson from Fix It Ford, because I've had callers that have been waiting for almost 20 minutes.
Of course.
Jeff, thanks for hanging on. Jay Thomas Show.
Yeah, hi, Jay.
Yeah.
This isn't really, well, it is kind of about the 76 year, but the 70s were kind of special for me. I graduated from high school in 73.
Nice.
Then I got hooked on the Senate Watergate hearings still going on in 73.
Okay.
You know, but anyway, fast forward to 1976, and I bought my first new car. It was a 1976 Pontiac Grand Prix that was fully decked out for that period of time. So I bought this thing for $5,800 cash out in Bismarck. And that thing looked like it was going 80 sitting at a gas pump. You know, it was just gorgeous, black with red interior.
Nice.
I really enjoyed the 70s. It was a good time in my life, good period in my life.
Because I was in 76, I was, you know, 10 years old, so I was a little bit younger for the 70s, but I still loved the 70s. I just did. It was just a whole different time, man. It really was. Loved it. And I had a stepsister that was a few years older than I was, so she was in her mid-teens, 15, 16 years old. So, you know, she always had her friends over. It was just, you know, having a teenage sister during the 70s made it just that much more fun.
Yeah, and it was kind of a bittersweet time for our family. I had my older brother passed away in 78.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
But even with that, I mean, the 70s kind of stick out in my life as kind of a special time, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, it was a good time.
It was. Jeff, appreciate the phone call. Let me grab Joe in Detroit Lakes. Joe, Jay Thomas Show.
Hey, I remember going to the boat dealership in 76 with my father to pick up his new StarCraft fishing boat, and two Bicentennial Evinrudes were sitting on the floor snowmobiles.
Oh.
And they were pretty cool looking.
Man, as I say, everything in 1976, everything, every damn company was taking advantage of it, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was awesome. And they had big eagles on the hood, and I remember them gold with the red, white, and blue. They were hanging on with their talons. It was pretty cool sled.
I'm going to have to check those out. Joe, appreciate the phone call. All right, Ron, hang on. You're next. Then we'll get to Jacob and these other calls. I got to talk to my buddy, my pal, Matt Carlson, Fix It Ford Auto Care. Do you remember, were you old enough, do you remember the Bicentennial, Matt?
You know, I was two.
Oh, no.
So, okay. Not so much.
Yeah, not so much for you. All right. It was a blast, dude. It was an absolute blast. Hey, is the Shark car ready yet?
You know, we have got it going, and I was driving around a couple days ago. So, yeah, she's back on the road. She got home after a little bit of surgery.
All right.
Suspension work.
Awesome. Maybe next week we'll get something figured out. Matt Carlson has got this sick lead sled that looks like a damn shark. It is the coolest thing. We're going to film it. I'll get a hold of you next week.
Sounds great.
All right, buddy. Summer travel, tires, and maintenance for a worry-free trip. You guys handle that, don't you?
Absolutely. Now is the time that everybody wants to go on trips, and you do not want to have car problems on your trip. Not only does it throw your schedule off, but who are you going to go to when you're in some other city you don't know? So it's really a good idea. If you're going to go on a trip, bring it in and get it checked out. Make sure everything's in good condition before you leave.
Yeah, especially if you're stuck in Pig's Knuckle, Arkansas, right?
Right.
Believe me, I've been there. Not to Pig's Knuckle, but I've been there on the road where you have a major breakdown, and it's not fun. How's the ministry doing? I know it's over 700 cars now, right, you've given away?
Yeah, we gave away our 724th car this morning to another deserving person. So we have been continuing to turn those cars out. We're always looking for more people who want to get involved in our nonprofit side to help us get those cars ready, to donate cars, to help with the labor and volunteer some time to help get them fixed. We're perpetually looking for more people because there's a lot of need in our community.
You guys are amazing, absolutely amazing, and that's why you're so successful. And now also, by the way, in-house, they do transmission work, and they do what I have in my truck, certified transmissions. They are fantastic. I got the Road Ripper, and that thing is a beast, man. Unbelievable. Fix It Ford Auto Care, new locations on South University Drive, and they got locations all over. They got eyes all over the city, baby. You got 2nd Avenue in Moorhead, 52nd Avenue South in Fargo, 13th Avenue in front of Menards in West Fargo, at the corner of University and 1st Avenue North downtown Fargo. And again, that newest location at South University in Fargo between Courts Plus and the Cork and Cleaver. Fix It Ford Auto Care. Find out more at fixitfordautocare.com. Matt, have a good one, brother. We'll talk soon.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. All right, before I get to Ron, I got a traffic report. Steve's out there. Steve, what's going on?
Hey, Jay, I just want to let everybody know, if you're coming into Fargo on I-94 eastbound, there is a backup quite a ways right now. It looks like one of those, those three-wheeled motorcycles, those trikes or whatever they're called?
Yes.
Something happened with one of those. It looks like a vehicle ran into it, or the trike tipped over or something, but it's got a big backup right now on 94.
Dude,
probably going to be a 15-20 minute delay.
Is it by chance red?
No, it's bright yellow, actually.
Okay, because the red one about a half hour ago came, we're on I-29, but came by on I-29. That must be one of them slingshots.
Yeah,
okay.
Three wheels. I couldn't tell if the two wheels are in front or the back.
Okay.
But so, either it had an accident or somebody bashed into it, but the trike is kind of tipped over on its side, and there's emergency vehicles on site.
Okay.
I don't think it's too, I mean, if you're not in a huge hurry, I think you're going to be okay to get through there, but you might be waiting 10, 15 minutes to get through.
Okay, and eastbound I-94 where?
So kind of where Premier Auto Service is, just outside of West Fargo.
Okay.
Kind of where they're doing the construction still for the diversion stuff. It's kind of right around there. So you're just barely out of town, or I guess just barely before you get into town.
All right, Steve, thanks for the heads up on that. Be safe out there, brother. Up to Pembina, Ron, Jay Thomas Show.
Hey, hello, Jay.
Hey,
thanks,
Ron,
for taking my call.
Thanks for listening.
I got something just real quick here, some information.
Yeah.
I had a beautiful 1976 Nova two-door hatchback. the Centennial, and then also a 76 Caprice Classic. And they were white, both of them, but, you know, they had a lot of blue and red and then beautiful pinstriping on them. I bought one in 82 and the other one in 84 and sold them both to a collector in Bozeman, Montana in 88. But anyway, one had 23,000 miles and one had 19,750. Kind of hard to remember 50 years ago, but I got it down. Another real quick deal here. In 1994, we were doing warranty work out in California and a bunch of new MCI coaches, and we were to do Evel Knievels up in Santa Rosa, California. Oh. That's where he lived. And they said, and he told us, go to this bar at 5:30 at happy hour. He'll be in there. We had an appointment the next day to do warranty work on his coach. And he sat there every day for a happy hour. But anyway, the next day at his garage museum, he had two of them. I think that's the only ones Harley did was the 883 Sportster and the 1200 Sportster. But you guys, old enough, lots of people, to remember that he did most of his tricks on that. On that 1200 Sportster, yeah. And he did that Centennial one a lot. But anyway, say I got one other thing, just real quick.
Yep, quick.
Okay,
yeah,
we got a hell of a nice car show coming Saturday up in Grafton. It's going to be a nice show, and it's a North Dakota Street Rod Association pick site. So, thank you, and you have a great day.
Thanks, Ron. Appreciate it. I got 2 minutes. Jacob, Jay Thomas Show.
Yeah, Steiger Tractor there in Fargo also did bicentennial model tractors for 1976.
Yeah, somebody just actually, Jacob, some emailers, multiple, are saying even Steiger Tractor was in the Spirit, two bicentennial. Okay, and they sent me a picture of the Spirit of 76 Steiger Panther 2.
That's a cool
that
looking tractor.
That is wicked,
yeah.
Looking. Wow.
Yeah, the funny and the other thing is they didn't paint those at the factory. They had a body shop there in Fargo paint those tractors. Oh. They did 50 of them, one for each state.
Oh, how cool is that? I wonder if any of these things are in existence restored.
Yep, there are several.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Seen pictures. Yeah.
Okay. I may have to hunt one of these down to go film. That is a cool looking, yeah. Spirit of 76.
Yeah, I think there's one north of Aberdeen. I think there's one down
okay,
there.
Okay, I'll do some call outs to some people I know down in that area. Thanks, Jacob. Caller, sorry I can't get to all of you. I can't get to all these emails. Real quick, Jay, my dad was out in Butte, Montana for a business trip and saw Evel Knievel in a bar out there. He got his autograph for me on the back of a bar napkin. That was back in the early 80s. Yeah, Evel liked his bars and his booze, that's for sure. Listen, got to rock and roll, folks. I'll see you tomorrow at Hebron Brick for the Hebron All-Soggers. Salute to our heroes. Goes from 3 to 7. I'll be
bevy
out there, too.
Bevy of guests, yeah.
Oh, yeah, bevy of guests, bevy of food, bevy of beverages.
Mm-hmm.
And live music from the 60s guys. All right, got to rock and roll. Have a great evening. Talk to you tomorrow, too.